When you're looking for a holster, it can be a dizzying array of choices. Well, today on the show, we've got Chad DeSantis from DeSantis Holsters. I mean, they actually have 5,000 different models of holsters, but he's going to help us sort it out. Hey, welcome into Gun Talk Nation. Today, we've got Mr. Chad DeSantis. Chad DeSantis Gunhide, Gun Leather. I don't know what, you know,
yeah,
holsters.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. So I have a question for you right off the bat. We're just going to jump right into it.
Absolutely. Let's
do it. We were talking about weird guns that people want holsters for, and it sort of seems to like ebb and flow over the years of like, and you said there's one recently that all of a sudden people are asking for again.
Oh, every single NRA show, without fail, I always get somebody coming up to me and asking me to make a holster for their 1908.
Your 1908, this is the precursor to the 1911, mm-hmm. John Browning gun, because, you know, everybody's carrying a 1908 around.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it makes sense. It's small, it's compact, it's whatever we want.
Great.
Yeah.
I mean, well, and probably, I guess, those guys and maybe perhaps owners of other guns, I mean, hard to find a holster for, maybe.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, you guys make... You make holsters, you make Kydex stuff, you make leather stuff, you make belts. What else do you guys make?
So, I mean, we make a wide variety. We have the main things we make are made out of either leather, Kydex, suede, or we also have nylon products. I mean, we make holsters, belts, and then we make it, you know, we have the police duty stuff. So we make handcuff pouches, flashlight holders, glove pouches, you know, everything that you think you could think of, we make.
I make pockets. I make things to hold things.
Yeah, pretty much.
Stuff to hold our stuff.
Anything that you need to put on your belt, we have.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It is kind of wild when you think about like law enforcement and their belts. I sometimes I'll look and go, God, they have a lot of stuff on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are local. So for my local county, they required the cops to hold three extra magazines. So we then, but they also had zero room. So we had to,
there's only so many inches on a belt.
So we had to basically redesign the magazine pouch in order for them to carry that extra magazine.
Yeah. Cause you've got a taser, you've got handcuffs, you've got a light, you've got
flashlight, everything. Yeah. And just at a certain point they were just running out of room.
Yeah. Jeez. And you think about concealed, I know, and I'll admit to it. And I know other guys out there are like this. When you carry all day, and a lot of times you feel like, oh man, kind of good to get this thing off and put it away. Even if it's not a bad setup, if you got a good belt and a good holster, which makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
But even, you know, you're wearing it for 12 hours, you're like, get home and like, I'm ready to take this off. I can't imagine for those guys on a shift of 10, 12 hours and you're going, okay, let me take off this, you know, 25 pounds of
easily
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And then you like, as soon as you, you know, take off the gun and then you probably take off the belt and you're like,
absolutely. You're so relieved. Yeah. So, what do people need to look for in holsters? Because God, there's so many different holster companies, so many different styles of holsters. Mm-hmm. And we often joke that if you carry, you end up with a box of holsters.
Oh, absolutely.
You're just looking for the perfect thing.
I mean, that's like the one thing that every gun owner knows is the fact that they have, you know, for each one gun, they'll have a giant box of holsters, mm-hmm. you know, just in their closet. Like, yeah, I tried it for a week. I didn't like it. And then they moved on to the next one.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I got a whole factory full of holsters, so I'm screwed. But there's so many things to look for. It comes down to personal preferences.
But there's got to be a couple things that are like no-goes. You know, a couple things that we see out there in the world of holsters that you go, this is no good, this particular feature or thing that it does or doesn't do.
I mean, there's so many things that, you know, I know that I see, my brother sees, that we'll see a photo that they use for like an article and they're like, mm-hmm. like you just see like it's the worst nylon magazine thing that ever existed. Yeah. It just like, and I don't want to disparage like, you know, other companies.
Yeah, I'm not picking on anybody, yeah. But just in general, for instance, holsters that don't cover the trigger guard, don't cover the trigger. Well, to me, that's just like a no-no. That's,
oh, yeah, no, that's absolutely.
It's like kind of like rule number one of a holster almost.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things. Like for all of our holsters, we don't cover the magazine release because there's just enough. Sometimes there's just enough pressure. Maybe you're turning, you're moving some way.
You're saying you cover it or you don't cover it?
We do not cover it.
Okay.
Yeah, just because we don't want the material to be squishing the magazine release in order to release it. We don't want that.
Yeah.
The worst thing is like you sit down and all of a sudden your mag pops out. Like, all right, well, now I got to deal with that.
That's a good point. That comes from experience.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I mean we've seen it enough, and there's so many little things that like I know when my dad started the company back in 1972, the first thing he did was instead of using cotton thread, which was the prevailing use for in holsters, mm-hmm. He switched to nylon thread, which was much stronger, and it instantly became probably within a few years that instantly became like the industry standard.
Really?
Yeah. So there's little things you got to look for in terms of like the make, the quality. But once again, it's every single person's going to have their own like, oh, they like that design. They'll deal with the fact that, on the Kydex, that edge is a little sharp. Mm-hmm. They'll have to deal with it.
There's preferences, oh, certainly. One thing that I've seen on either very thin, it'll even happen on Kydex, very thin Kydex or certain types of leather is when you draw the gun, the holster closes on itself. Mm-hmm. Especially on like an inside the waistband situation.
Yeah.
Which can be, somewhere between kind of annoying and really problematic because you can't reholster the gun with one hand.
Yeah. I mean, that's why a lot of good leather holsters you'll see will have a memory band up top to keep it open. Most Kydex shouldn't collapse. I mean, if you're
I've seen some thin ones that are Kydex that's squishy.
Yeah.
That's thin Kydex.
That's probably a holster for the box.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like most leather holsters, for like suede holsters, at a certain point, no matter what, it's going to squish down. But
sure.
If you have a good quality holster that, took time and engineering went into it, it's going to stay open. It'll stay open, or at least the mouth will stay open so you can get the gun in.
Right. You were talking about, looking at different products, and you guys have been in this world for 40 plus years.
Yeah, my entire life, basically.
And obviously, you know the ins and outs, and you've done all the different types of materials. You're talking about smelling the leather and telling, you can tell stuff from that. You guys can, I couldn't.
Yeah, no, I mean, as soon as we pick up we'll pick up a holster, or I've had knife makers come up to me and they'll bring me their version of their sheaths.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing we could do is you could pick it up, you could feel the quality of the leather. We could tell, certain leathers, certain qualities, and then first thing you could do, you can always smell it, because then we know the smells of the dyes that they'll be using on it.
Wow.
So you could tell whether it's you see like, whether it was a natural color and then they just tanned it, they tanned it, mm-hmm. Or like, was it, vegetable tan? Like you could tell all these certain things just from like feeling it, smelling it, and like, just giving it a deep dive.
Wow.
I mean, it's the sickness of being in this industry for so long.
Yeah. You just look at this holster and give it a sniff and, it's sniff a vision on.
Hopefully it's not like covered in like 30 years of sweat, but, but no, I mean, that's the thing is for being in this industry for so long, or even anybody in any industry, like you get numb to the certain things that you find constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So you just gotta like, all right. Oh, this is a Mexican leather, or, that's actually from a good tannery in Pennsylvania. Like,
right.
You could see it instantly.
And it makes a difference.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, there is some good Mexican leather. I'm not going to say it's all terrible, but, mm-hmm. Our two tanneries that we predominantly use are one's in St. Louis, and one's in Pennsylvania, and and it's good, good quality leather. We pride ourselves on using, American made leather, American, like, snaps, and what we try to do is as American as possible.
Sure.
And, everything is made right in our factory in New York. So we try, we're very proud of our stuff is being made in USA.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the quality of the goods will, make any holster instantly better.
Yeah. Well, and if someone's going to wear that every day,
mm-hmm.
and frankly, you're trusting, this is part of the tool for safety of your life and your loved ones and that type of thing. Tom on the radio show likes to say, you don't want to be the guy who wants the cheap parachute.
No.
When that goes to guns or holsters or ammo or whatever, it's like, well, there's this gun that I really like and it's $500, but there's this other gun that's, it's pretty good and it's like $350. And you're like, dude, you are, this is literally a product. I mean, as far as a gun goes,
yeah,
that you could own for the rest of your life and you could give it to your kids and they could own it for the rest of their life. And you're worried about $150.
I mean, it's going to be the same thing with holsters. I mean, yeah, a good quality holster is going to cost you some money, but then you'll love to see the, like those People of Walmart, image collections, and you'll see a guy, with his gun inside of a super cheap nylon holster. Like mm-hmm. he spent all the money on the gun. Probably, I'm assuming he probably took a class to did all that. And then he buys a $15 holster.
Like, and he has it somehow attached to his sweatpants.
Amazingly, he's doing a good job there.
Talk about retention. Retention's an interesting deal, and you guys have different solutions depending on mm-hmm. the application or the holster, I guess.
Yeah. So for the most popular one is you'll have a tension screw that's going to be right near the trigger guard. Mm-hmm. It'll just make it as tight or as loose as the person wants, but. Yeah, there's different levels of retention. I mean, for like Kydex holsters, you can't have the tension. You can, like, we have our Slim Tuck holster, which is one of our most popular holsters. It has a tension screws to keep it, to make it tighter as loose as the person wants.
Right.
But you also need an indent on like the trigger guard or something so you just know you get that nice audible click in.
It clicks in. Mm-hmm. It's not a retention like a police officer would have.
Right.
But you could actually, on a good holster with that type of retention, you could actually turn it upside down and the gun would not fall out.
Oh, yeah, no, we do that constantly. We'll take a holster. We'll unload the gun or we'll use our
plastic gun or something like that.
And then we'll put it in, turn it upside down, and just start shaking it like a beer can or something. And just making sure it does not come out.
Yeah, and I think talking about. Not picking on Walmart, I mean, but yeah, the people of Walmart holsters, that's when, that could happen. It really, seriously, your gun could fall out of your holster, out of your pants kind of thing.
Yeah, you'll see those cheap nylon holsters that have like a very thin thumb strap and like that's all that's keeping it in.
Yeah.
And you see that it's on a metal clip, which is on a belt, which is, that metal clip is not designed to be carrying that much weight. Like even just the weight of the gun, that metal clip is not meant to be carrying that. And it's just flopping everywhere.
Yeah.
Like it's not that safe, but
yeah. Now there are so many new people getting into carrying and gun ownership. I'm sure you guys get calls and questions all the time from customers or potential customers. What are some of those frequently asked questions that you guys seem to get a lot?
Well, the first thing I always try to talk to them about is like, where do they want to carry? Like, that's the main thing is, and
a lot of people, grocery store, movie theater, on your person.
Yeah. that's always the second question at the NRA shows is like, oh, well, I think I want to take it to church. I'm like, okay, well, go ahead, do that.
That's not what I meant.
Yeah. So no, like people never really, and like, once you ask them that, they never really. Even I'm sure I've asked veterans of the industry like, oh, well, I guess I want to wear it outside, or I guess I want to go for like as deep as concealment as possible. Each person is going to be different. I know somebody who like swears by ankle holsters, will not wear anything but that. He just likes having that option down there and mm-hmm. Keeps it off his belt so he can keep looking somewhat slim. But
right.
I mean, I personally wear outside the waistband every single day. Yeah. It's more comfortable for me. My brother, he'll wear inside the waistband. That's his preference. I always try to say start with outside because that's going to be the easiest option. Mm-hmm. You'll definitely find more options that way. And then because if you go inside, you immediately have to dress around the holster.
Right.
Like you have to
make adjustments.
Yeah, you have to get a bigger pants or a bigger belt. You have mm-hmm. to, wear, you have to work around it. At least with outside, you can just slap it right on and be okay to start.
Yeah.
Especially for a new gun owner, they have no idea what they're going to like.
And all of this stuff is trade-off. All is a trade-off. The outside waistband is going to be pretty easy. It's going to be pretty comfortable. Not as easy to conceal,
right?
Perhaps you're going to have some sort of cover garment or whatever.
Yeah.
Inside the waistband, you're going to have to make adjustments in your clothing or whatever. Deep concealment, it's going to be slower to deploy.
Yeah.
Ankle, you're not worrying about the waist part of it, but it's going to be slower to deploy. And you're going to have to probably, you have to compromise on what you carry.
Yeah,
because you're typically not going to carry like a Glock, even a Glock 19 on an ankle.
I mean, we do have a holster for it.
It
so.
Could be done.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys have ankle carry your Glock 19.
I'm not going to do it.
Bell bottoms.
Yeah.
Bell bottoms. There you go. You're going to bring that back.
Well, that's the thing. You have to dress around it. So you dress around the ankle holster. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Get JNCOs. Remember JNCO jeans?
They're God, like no, God.
Giant legging things.
It's terrible. The 90s was just a mistake.
You could ankle carry an AR with JNCO jeans. I'm just saying.
You easily could.
Yeah. Wouldn't really be ankle though, would it? It would be like,
I mean, at that point it'd be like a thigh rig.
A thigh rig, yeah. With that moves with your knee. There's a kind of a,
I mean, somebody's gonna be like, hey, why aren't you bending your knee? Don't worry about it.
It's a peg leg situation.
Yeah, of course.
Don't ask me about my medical history. You guys should do one of those for April 1st.
Oh God.
Yeah.
The only problem,
ankle carrier AR.
The only problem is I know at a certain point that's going to be a popular option. So like people are like, yeah, no, I want that.
That's the risk.
God, no.
You put it out there and then they're like, cool, we just got 50 orders. Yeah. Oh God.
Like, oh crap, now we actually have to do it.
Yeah. How many, do you have any other strange requests as far as what people want in a holster or a holster for a particular gun that seems strange guys?
We've had nothing too terribly. Like, I've had, I remember one NRA show, I had a guy come up and he was trying to get, he wanted to buy a holster from us. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to be able to dual wield 1911s on a shoulder rig. Which,
oh,
okay,
wow.
Yeah, which, okay, that's fine. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, you do you. Yeah, but
you cross arm it, I think, to draw?
I guess so.
Usually a shoulder rig is cross draw, so now you're having to double cross draw.
I think he just wanted to look cool, but then he wanted us to make changes to it so it would be like as high up into the armpit as humanly possible. And then like after like trying to help him like 20 minutes, we're like he finally just broke down and goes like, and he's like, well, you know, I don't have to buy from you guys. And we're like, yeah, you don't. It was like the end of the day. We were just so done with this guy. Yeah. But that I think is the weirdest one. I mean, the only one we ever get is like, oh, hey, can you put, you know, my dad's initials in a holster? Like, yeah, absolutely. We can do that.
Yeah.
That's easy.
The Safariland 575 IWB holster is designed to fit multiple firearms in one holster. It's now available in slim fits for Glocks, Springfields, SIGs, M&Ps, and more. The 575 is optics capable. You guys are all carrying red dots now, and offers a fully adjustable cant, unique grip lock system for security. Visit safariland.com and use code GUNTALK20 for 20% off holsters and accessories. Also, we are brought to you by Arms Corps and Rock Island Armory. Their newest pistol is the STK-100. This is their first striker-fired gun. The lineage of Rock Island Armory is really 1911s, and Martin, the president, he tells you, look, I'm a 1911 guy, so I wanted those great features in our first striker-fired gun. But this one is a solid aluminum frame, so they like to say it's the advantages of a metal pistol for the price of a polymer pistol. Has a 17-round capacity of 9mm. It's also an optics-ready slide. Find out more at armscore.com. And then we have Crossbreed holsters. They've been around for a very long time. That actually were kind of the originator of that hybrid holster of the Kydex with the leather backing where it's super comfortable. The Super Tuck. And then they brought out the Mini Tuck for small ones. And then the Reckoning. And then the Snap Slide to the Belly Band. And their gun belts. They have a lot of different options for you inside the waistband, outside the waistband, in a bag, across your chest. Find it today at crossbreedholsters.com. Now, you're standing in the NRA booth, and how many times at the NRA show, because NRA show, it's open to the public, it's fun, but if you imagine 50 or 60,000 gun people in a room, and you're going to get some unusual questions, how many times at that show do you feel like, am I being punked right now?
So
like, is he really asking me to do a inside the waistband for a Desert Eagle? Or
I've had that.
Have you?
I've had people asking me about that. The worst one I'll say was my very first NRA show, which was Phoenix. So this may be back almost 10, probably about 10 years ago.
10 years.
And so. I remember it was this little old guy, like probably, you know, close to 90 or something. He comes up to me in a scooter. And I'm talking, he goes like, oh, hey, so I have a J frame and I want to get something that's on the hip. And I'm like, okay, yeah, great. I can show you over here. I turn around, the guy takes out his J frame and he goes to hand it to me. And I'm like, well, you can hold on to that. I'm definitely not touching the gun you probably just used to murder somebody. Like, I'm not giving you my fingerprints.
Well, also, like, you know, put the gun away. Then I've had stories of that from lots of people in the industry.
I remember that NRA show, there was a very strict rule of like, if you're in this area, you can have your gun. But if you're in the beer area, the area with like the concessions, you cannot have your gun. And luckily we were not in that area at the time.
Yeah. But I've heard that and probably holster guys, I would imagine you guys are maybe some of the booths or areas where that is most likely to happen is they want to show you what they're carrying.
Yeah.
Cause we're discussing what I'm carrying and they're thinking, well, I'll just show you.
Yeah.
You're like, no.
Yeah.
Draw your gun right now.
please don't. I don't have to one draw
I'll take
on
your
you.
Word for
yeah.
it. I know what a 1911 looks like.
You'd be surprised. Like, oh, but I actually have, yeah, I know I've been in this industry long enough. I know. Yeah. Oh, it's a Taurus, you know, GX3. I know what they look like. I can help you out.
Right. Talk about all you guys. I'm not the envy of this. The number of SKUs you have to have available.
Yeah. So for every single holster, I mean, it's not as bad now. We've streamlined a bit, but we've had, I mean, because we have left hand, right hand, black tan. Mm-hmm. So that right there is four for every single new gun.
It's a multiplier of four.
Yeah. And then we basically used to do lined holsters, basket weave, and then lined and basket weave. So for every one gun, that was 16 options.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. So I think right around, we're about, as of right now, about 5,000 SKUs.
Wow.
Of just every single different combination.
That's the streamlined.
Yeah. That's streamlined.
After like paring it down to go.
Oh yeah. It used to be a lot worse.
Well, because if you think about it, yeah. Right hand, left hand, inside the waistband, outside the waistband, different finishes.
And that's just completely, you know, for outside the waistband holsters, we have probably 30, 40 different options.
I mean, just for example, probably you could take one, like a Glock 19, which is probably one of the most popular. I mean, it'd be mind-boggling because you go with a laser, with a light.
Yep. With a red dot, with, you know, or now with a red dot, and now you have this laser on it. It's just every single combination is its own new set of holsters.
When someone orders from you guys, typically, I would think because there are so many different possibilities of combinations, then you make the holster. Is that how that works?
No. So we'll actually, I mean, we have our full stock room. So we have, you know, we have stock, you know, we always build up stock of like, so we can get stuff out very quickly.
Yeah. Certainly the bread and butter stuff.
Yeah. The more popular stuff, like stuff for the SIG 365, the Hellcat, Glock 19, all your most popular guns, we'll keep a good steady inventory on.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but then there are some times where it's just like, oh, you know, I need something for my, I'm trying to think of like my C-Camp. And like, you know, we might not have something for it right away. We'll make it, you know, give us a couple of weeks, but we'll certainly make it. But, you know, maybe buy something more popular next time.
That's a good question. So, I mean, because you guys have been around for such a long time, do you have some of those, I guess, molds or ability to make stuff that perhaps others don't? Because it's like, well, it's not like in the line all the time, but yeah, we've made holsters for that gun in the past, as far as somebody coming to you with like, I have this old gun kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've had maybe a couple months ago, I had a guy come up and he needed a shoulder rig for his J frame, but it's a 5-inch version.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yeah, it's a model 60, but in the 5-inch version.
Oh,
and
wow.
Like we basically had to go back into our back room, find the like, we don't make holsters for that anymore.
We used to make that.
Yeah,
at one point
we made, it was like 09 marking code. So it was like one of the first marking codes we ever did.
Wow.
And we had to go back and like, oh, okay, well, I guess we can do it. We'll charge him an extra fee in order to do it, but we had to do it.
Well, and probably he didn't mind because he can't find it.
Oh no. He was giddy as all heck. He was happy. He was like, oh, you guys can actually do it? Yeah. All right. Take my money.
That's cool. That's really cool. Yeah. It's interesting. For someone getting into it and it's going, okay, I think I'm going to carry a gun. I've been thinking about it. What type of advice do you have for them when it comes to kind of your world of carrying and holsters and belts and all that stuff? You had a buddy come to you and ask you about it.
I mean, the first thing is, like, you know, I always tell them, like, you got to get ready in order to have that box of holsters, because you're going to try a million things. And, you know, I even say, like, look, you know, I know I make good quality products, but, you know, you might not like our stuff. You might want to go somebody else. Like, never be beholden to, like, one thing. Like, you got to be able to try multiple things. Got to see what you like. Mm-hmm. What works for you is not what's going to work best for me.
Yeah.
So I always tell people to try. You know, just, you know, pick something you think you'll good. Wear it for a week. See what you feel like. Does it ride too high? Does it ride too low? Like, you know, can you get a good grip on it at all times? And that's the sort of things you have to look out for. You have to be able to see how well this holster option works for you.
I would also think that on one hand, going into a gun shop, would they let you try on holsters?
Probably not. I would assume, because then that requires, like, you know, taking out the gun and I mean, maybe if you talk to the, you know, the clerk beforehand, I'm like, hey, you know, here's my gun, it's empty, it's cleared. Mm-hmm. You know, they might let you. They might not. But it's
might be worth asking, because, you know, you kind of hate to go, well, I'm going to try this out and it doesn't work. And also the other thing is, going back to the whole 5,000 SKUs thing, a gun shop can only stock so many holsters.
Yeah.
They're going to stock
the bread and butter,
the bread and butter, the lowest hanging fruit type of, like, okay, we got a few different options for Glock 19s, a few different options for Hellcat and M&Ps or whatever.
Well, whenever I sign up a new store, I always, like, the first thing I always ask is, like, okay, what are your top guns? Mm-hmm. And then we'll go from there. Like, I'm not going to suggest, like, oh, this is a really good sell for us. Oh, you don't stock that gun? Oh, I'm sorry. Like, you'll still have to take our top selling stuff. Like,
yeah.
No,
yeah.
Like, I want to find out what works best for you. Like, okay, you know, one of your top guns is the Smith & Wesson Shield. Okay, I'm going to, you know, now recommend, like, here are these top five SKUs for that Shield.
Yeah.
Like, it's even for a gun store, it's all personal preference. It all works, like, what works for that's for them.
Yeah, it truly is that way. What about carrying for women? Do you have differences in how they do it? I mean, is there...
So with women,
what you guys offer?
Yeah. I mean, whenever I deal with a woman at the, like, the NRA show or any of these other shows, one thing I always try to steer them towards, not like force them down this lane, but I always know, like, oh, you know, it's the same for with guys. Like, they're gonna have to dress around it. You know, for the women, they're gonna have to dress around the holster. So first thing I always ask is, like, how often do you wear a belt? And then that will basically learn, like, okay, if they wear a belt, like, every single day, all right, I'll suggest this stuff. If they're like, oh, I only wear a belt, like, once a week, yeah, then I'll say, like, oh, then you need something with, like, a metal spring clip, because then you don't need to wear a belt with it, so it'll free up your dressing options.
Okay, so you guys have options for that.
Yeah, I mean, we have options to try to conceal it, you know, cover as much as possible, but, you know, you always got to talk to the person, see what they think they're going to do, and a lot of people don't realize the option of, like, oh, I know I'm now carrying a gun on me. I got to dress around it. Like, they just think, like, oh, they can just slap it on and be good to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, they really need to have it with them. They need to, like, figure out, okay, I'm going to be wearing khakis and this polo shirt today. You know, all right, then maybe do IWB that day, like, just so you can have a little bit more concealment. Oh, I'm just going out in dress shorts. All right, then have, like, a, you know, have a pocket holster that day.
And it's funny, because this will be a debate among gun folks, but I am a proponent of, some people will say, well, you have to carry the same place the same way every single day, because if you don't, when the moment comes, you'll mess it up. But I'm really a proponent of, you don't need to have, like, 12 different ways, but probably you need two or three different ways to carry, depending on where you're going and really, in particular, what you're wearing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I think it's unrealistic to say 100% of the time I'm going to carry a Glock 19 appendix carry all the time, I mean, or whatever it is.
That's what there's some guys that do that.
Some people do it. And if your lifestyle is such that you basically wear the exact same thing every single day, I'm wearing jeans and a t-shirt and I can do that. And my body type is that works. Cool. But I mean, I think that we need options.
Yeah. I mean, it's also, you're going to be seasonal. Like, you know, I know during the winter I'll carry my Glock 19, but during the summer, I'll switch to something smaller. Mm-hmm. Like I have my, and I own all three. I have a Glock 43, I have a Hellcat, and I have a SIG 365X. So I'll rotate around whichever I'm feeling that day. But
yeah,
you know, and then if do I need to wear a suit or do I need to dress up a little bit? Okay, then I'll switch to something like a pocket carry. Like, so I'm okay with people having that one option. Like if that's what works for them, but you know, I'm okay with, you know, it's obviously I'm okay with, because they're going to be buying more holsters. Yeah, so I'm happy. Sure. I'm happy with them, you know, changing it up. But I think for most people, I would always say like, start with what works for you, and then like, you know, branch out.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What are your top three products from DeSantis that you guys have out that, I was going to say new products, but it doesn't have to be new products. Mm-hmm. What are your top three that you want to let people know about?
All right. So top three, I mean, the first one, I know I said earlier, the Slim Tuck, it's extreme. It's a slimline holster. Adds barely any bulk to the gun. It's IWB has an adjustable clip that can be adjusted, you know, pretty much almost 360 degrees. So wow. you can wear anywhere on the body. You could do strong side, small back, cross draw if you wanted to. It's just, one of our sales guys wears it every single day, appendix carry.
Okay.
Yeah. It works great for that. And like I would say, and not only that, it's a great price point. It's $34.99. So it's a great option and completely ambidextrous. So you only need the one SKU for
that's really nice. Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably our top seller, I would say, or like at least one of them.
Mm-hmm.
The other options, for some of the newer stuff, I know, we're going to show off the variable GRD, which is a new leather holster option for us. Comes with 1.5-inch clips, or you can order the 1.75-inch if you need it. And it comes with our new GRD retention device on the inside.
It's very cool.
Yeah, it's a leather holster, but you get that nice audible click mm-hmm. of like a Kydex holster, and that's a really good option. And then the other one I would say is probably the Veil Partner, which is one of our newest ones. We just came out with it, I think back in January, Kydex holster. It's OWB. The main selling point is it has a S curve in it. And that
this is the magic behind this holster.
Yeah. And like, so when you wear a nice, good, sturdy gun belt, and you tighten it down, that holster just goes so tight to the body. Like it pretty much disappears.
Yeah.
Like my brother like threw just a t-shirt over it and you couldn't see it.
It hugs the body, mm-hmm. the shape of the clips and the holster kind of, it ratchets it down as you tighten the belt.
Yeah. And so you just get that good, a tight grip to the body. So that's the thing we wanted it for as deep as concealment as possible.
And that's an inside the waistband.
Well, so that's outside the waistband, but we do have inside the waistband clips that are available for it. If you do want to wear inside the waistband, you do have that option.
Very cool. Very cool. Chad, thanks for being with us, man.
All right, absolutely. Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Very fun. So hopefully some good takeaways, some tips. I know you guys are always looking for holsters and different ways to carry. We're all searching for that perfect thing, and well, you may end up with a box of holsters. We'll see you next time.